Hi everyone, morning. I'm Michelle. And just before we get to the message, I'll be reading from the Bible passage from Psalms 130. Psalms 130, verse 1. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept the record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord more than a watchman wait for the morning, more than the watchman wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Reverend Winston.
Okay, so we are at the end of our series on Christmas sentiments, where we've been looking at some psalms that help us deal with some of the emotions and feelings that might be more prevalent around this time of the year. And Psalm 130, like many psalms are, is a prayer. Now, we don't know who this the author of this prayer is, but as a prayer, what it does is it gives us an intimate look into this author's feelings, his emotions. And what do we learn about this author's emotions as he opens up this prayer for us in verse 1? So you can follow the passage there on your phones if you wanted to. QR code. I'll give you 5 seconds. Okay. All right. So this is what he says, verse 1. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. Have you ever felt like that before? Have you ever been in the depths? Do you know how it feels to be in the depths? To reach out and cry out, help. Now, what does he mean to be in the depths, to feel in the depths? Now, it's a metaphor, really, for how he is feeling. Not literally in a dark pit, but it's a metaphor for the idea of how he is feeling in the depths. Either in a dark pit or maybe deep, in an ocean, drowning in the depths. That's the idea, the feeling that he has. And it's from this deep, dark, struggling place, he cries out to God for answers, help. And it's out of the depths that he is desperate. Desperate for God to hear him. Oh Lord, hear my voice. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive. In other words, God, like I need you to listen right now, God. Pay attention, please, to me. Like, don't turn your ears away. Turn them towards me. I really need you to hear me, God. Have you felt in that sort of situation before, where you really cried out to God, God, hear me? Now, I know some of you are feeling like this author. You're in the depths. And I know this because, as your pastor, some of you have asked me to meet with you, and you wanted to share your struggles with me, and some of you have broken hopes. Some of you have particular fears. And some of you have shared your personal pain with me. And I feel a bit of what you feel, but I'm not there completely with you. But I know you are feeling what this guy is feeling as you've shared it with me. You are in the depths. You're in this struggling, dark place, and you are crying out for help. You want God to answer you, and you want this pain to go away. You feel it. And it's Christmas, and maybe some of you are feeling these struggles more than normal, and you wish it could be better, and people that you miss aren't around anymore, and it hurts more, and you desperately want God to hear you. So I know some of you are feeling it, but perhaps you're sitting here and you're not really feeling it. You're like, I'm not in the depths. You know, life's pretty good. Life's pretty happy. There's no dramas. I'm cruising along. This has been a good year. It's going to be a good Christmas. And the future is looking bright. And maybe you're not feeling it. Maybe this is not something you're kind of identifying with. And, well, there's like a few things I want to say about that. Like, first of all, I'm happy that's where you're at, and you are happy, and you're in a good mood, like mode of life right now. But I think there's still some important relevance for you even. And I'll give you three reasons. Firstly, I reckon all of you probably know someone who's in the depths, and your empathy with them is helped when you understand this psalm. But secondly, even though life is good now, I guarantee it, we live in a fallen, broken world, and one day you will feel like you're in the depths. We all experience it. We all have different struggles and sufferings in our life. You will feel like you're in the depths at some stage in your life. And you will, hopefully, if you have faith, you will want to cry out to God. But thirdly, something which God helped me to understand as I prepared this psalm is that even though I wasn't really feeling it, he made me realize something important, and that is the idea that I ought to be more desperate for God than I am, as this psalmist is, desperate for God. And I was reminded, reminded me about what Jesus said in the Beatitudes. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So even though my life is relatively like, you know, pretty happy, right? I feel very blessed in many ways. But God pressed on my heart, it is good, it is blessed to be spiritually needy. For us to be as desperate for God as this psalmist is. And I was reminded that I needed to get to that space if I was really to get something out of this, you know. And it's been like I've been happy, you know. And yesterday was, even this morning I feel happy, you know. I was at a wedding yesterday, I was happy. And maybe you're happy, but being spiritually needy, having that real desire for God in your life, wanting more intimacy with God, wanting God to be closer to you, for God to answer your prayers and for us to have better prayer life. We want that. We all want that. We all should be more needy for God, every single one of us. And so it's from this spiritual need that we ought to cry out to God like this psalmist. And so actually, that's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to pray on our behalf to cry out to God, to be needy to God. So let's pray. Oh Lord, we cry out to you now. You are our God and our Redeemer. Lord, please hear us. Please turn your ears toward us. Lord, we acknowledge that we have depended on ourselves so much in our life. We have not trusted in you as much as we should have. We have taken many of our character flaws and our sins for granted. We acknowledge that in many ways we are spiritually poor and we continue to sin and we need you, God. We need your mercy. We need the blood of your Son to wash us clean. We need your Holy Spirit that we might be able to draw near to you, Lord. So we reach out to you. We cry out to you, Lord, for mercy in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So in case you missed the first point, it is this cry to God. But the second point is about what he is crying out to God for. And it's right there at the end of verse 2. And that is mercy. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. He wants mercy and something, and that is something that we all need, isn't it? We all need God's mercy. And you get the sense that the psalmist really recognizes that he is in the depths because of something perhaps that he feels guilty about. Sin in his life that he's ashamed about. He's in the depths and he's crying out to God, mercy. Mercy, Lord, please, mercy. And he recognizes that only God can get him out of this place that he is in. And so he expands the idea of mercy in verse 3. And he says, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, you, who could stand? Lord, who could stand? And I want you to notice that the psalmist acknowledges there is a universal problem of sin. He's not questioning whether there is such a thing as a record of sins. There is such a thing. God sees everything. He sees all of our actions. He sees all of our thoughts. He knows everything that's going on in our lives. And he knows all of our sin. There is a record of our sins. That's without question. But also, he knows that if God kept a record of those sins, who could stand? And the Apostle Paul reminds us in the book of Romans that all have sinned and all have fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, not even one. Everyone is a sinner. There is a record of sins. We all have that record before God. And if God kept that record of sins, the psalmist says, who could stand? Who could stand before your judgment, God? No one is the answer. So the psalmist recognizes there is such a thing as a record of sins, but what he leans upon is God's mercy. What he leans upon is that is the hope that God would not keep this record of sins against him. And so as we see the psalmist pray, we start to see that he rises from the depths to a place of hope, to a place where God can possibly do something about his sin, about his guilt, about his shame. And the way out is through mercy. And he says there in verse 4, but with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared, or as it says, so that we can with reverence serve you. I love whenever the Bible uses the word but, because you know after the but is something probably pretty important. And this is really important, this after this but. But with you, there is forgiveness. With God, there is forgiveness. And we see with this but a really a critical turning point in the psalmist's prayer. From the depths, he sees the hope of forgiveness. forgiveness that comes from only God. And so the psalmist is saying, you know, I'm in the depths, I'm drowning, I'm guilty, I'm ashamed of my sin, I'm stuck down here because I know you're so far away from you, from me, God. But God, you can forgive me. And I find it interesting the way that he prays here. You know, when I sin, the way I normally pray, I say, oh Lord, like, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I've sinned again. But that's not how he prays here, this psalmist. He says, it's almost like it's a done deal, the way he phrases it. He recognizes that it is just what God does. With you, there is forgiveness. He recognizes there is forgiveness from God. And this is the incredible message of the gospel that we celebrate at Christmas, isn't it? This is why Jesus was born. For God so loved the world, he gave us his son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. If God kept the record of our sin, we would not stand, we will perish. But God gave us his son so that whoever believes in him will have their record of sins removed. God will not see that record of sins anymore. He will see Jesus, his son, the righteous one who paid the price for our sins. And we will be forgiven. We will not perish, but have eternal life. So, point one, all of us should be as desperate for God as this psalmist. Point two, we all need to ask God for mercy. And if you like outlines, then point three and four is there for you. We all need to persevere in trusting God. And point four, we have full assurance in God. So we all need God's mercy. Now, perhaps some of you have forgotten that you need God's mercy. I wonder why. I think I know why, because I've been in that space. I'll confess that to you now. I want to be honest with you. One of two things happen in the Christian life when we forget our need for mercy, and I know why, because I've been here. You know, one of the reasons why is because we feel stuck in our sin. And we keep repeating the same sin again and again. And we think that we can't go to God because we feel guilty. And we feel ashamed. And we feel that God doesn't want to listen to us anymore. We're that ashamed of our sin. And so we don't go to God for mercy. That's one of the reasons why we don't go to God for mercy. Another reason, and I've experienced this as well, and that is when we have started to take our sins for granted. When we no longer see the seriousness of our sin. And what happens is that because we don't see the seriousness of our sin, we don't really see the need for mercy. And that's why we don't get point two very well, often. Either we feel too guilty, or we don't feel guilty enough. We don't recognize our sin, and so we don't seek mercy. And this is where I think this says there is a better way. To bring our guilt, to bring our sin, to bring our shame to God by praying to him, by going to him in prayer and asking him for mercy. That is what we need to be constantly doing. And it's so important. This is my brief application for this point for all of you. It's so important that when you do sin, never stop confessing your sin to God. Never stop confessing your sin to God. Because when you do, you'll start to forget how wonderful and how amazing and how precious and how liberating and how loving is God's mercy for you in Jesus. So please, like, practice confessing often. Whenever you sin, confess your sin to God and look to Him for mercy. So, that's... we all need to persevere in trusting in God is my third point. We can see it there in verses 5 to 6. And this is what he gets at. We need God's mercy. We need to persevere in trusting in God. And he says, verse 5, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in his word, I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. I've got to say that I'm not very good at this. My family would tell you, my wife would tell you, my son would tell you, I'm not good at waiting. I'm a very impatient person. And I will say, I'm often quite impatient with God. The pastoral team will let you know that too, that I'm not the most patient guy with them and with God sometimes. And I get upset with God when He is slow to answer my prayers. And when He doesn't answer as I want, or as quickly as I want, and He tells me things like, not yet, Winston, or before I answer this prayer, like, you got to work on some things, Winston, you got some character building to do before I answer this prayer, you know, you want to do this for me, but nah, you got to wait, mate. I'm like, come on, like, answer already, God, I'm impatient. And this is an important lesson for me, and maybe it's an important lesson for you. It is important for all of us that we learn to wait on God. And so five times he uses that word wait, and in this context it is such a powerful word. Generally we think of wait, and wait is like no action. There's no action, just wait, like, what's, you know. But in this context it is a very powerful word. It's intentional, it's deliberate, it's expecting God to come through with the goods, to answer. There's this neediness as he waits. You know, my son, when he's hungry, that, you know, maybe you have, you're like this too, but when he's hungry, he's very quick to let you know he's hungry. So all day he's going to say, I'm hungry, and like, where's the food? Where's the food? And mum might be cooking, and mum says, sorry, you need to wait a bit longer. And he's like, I don't want to wait, I want the food now, I'm hungry. We are often like that, aren't we? We are like that with God, and God says it's good to wait, because in waiting we learn something very important. We learn to persevere in trusting God. And in his word, he hopes and he waits, and he says, you know, I hope in God. I put my hope in God's word. And he thinks, and he remembers the promises of God, and he remembers how to wait properly, to trust in God. God will answer those promises, and he turns to God and he waits. And it encourages him to persevere, to trust. And the illustration he uses is of this watchman. Now, watchman here, I'm not exactly sure, but I think what he means by watchman is, you know, in times of war, they set guards on the city wall to watch, to look out, right, until the morning, because at night is when things could get nasty and sneaky things can happen, and you wouldn't want the enemy to sneak up at you. So you got to set guards to watch. and watch until the morning, until your shift is over, and then you can, now I can relax. But during that time, we wait expectantly, watching, observing, making sure, looking for the answer. And this is what God wants us to do when we are in our struggles, in our mess. Often God says, wait, persevere. When things don't go our way or as we hoped, God says, wait and persevere and trust me. You know, as human beings, we are not very good at this. I know I have a strong tendency to take matters into my own hands. I have a strong tendency, there's a problem, I want to fix it. I want to solve that problem. There's a goal, I want to achieve it. I want to get there, I want to do it now. I want to work out how to get there. But I'm not very good at waiting. But what happens when we wait is we learn to trust. And that's more important than the goal, actually. Because what God really wants from us is to trust Him, is to have faith in Him. The goal isn't so much to solve the problem itself, but whilst you're in the problem, you learn how to trust Him. And so as the psalmist prays to God, he waits for His answer and he perseveres in trusting God. So that's the third point. But now the fourth point, look at where he lands. Verse 7 and 8. He lands in a place that is full of trust and full of assurance. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. So from the depths, he cries out to God and he brings his sin before God. He turns to God for forgiveness. He waits upon God. He waits and he waits, and he look now where he lands, and he calls out to Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. So he lands from the depths. He rises and he lands in a place of hope. He remembers God's unfailing love. He remembers that in God there is full redemption, and he trusts. Verse 8. He himself, God himself, will redeem Israel from all their sins. In God there is forgiveness and assurance of deliverance from all our sins. And friends, this is what God ultimately wants for all of us. That's why He sent His Son Jesus for us, so that we might have full assurance that the sin has been paid for once and for all. Someone who was truly good enough to pay the price for our sins was given to us through Jesus. He took the punishment that we could not pay. And that is what Christmas is all about. No matter what place you're in right now, whether you're in the depths, lost, you're in darkness, you're hurting, you miss someone you love, someone that your love is not with you, you're going through struggles because things are not turning out well for you right now. Well, this psalm says, turn to God. Pray to Him. Put your trust in Him. Wait upon Him. And He will deliver you. Maybe not from your problem, but He will deliver you from your sins. And He will ultimately solve that problem for eternity, where you will not feel guilt anymore. You will not be in pain and mourn anymore. You will not feel ashamed anymore, because you are loved, you are accepted, you've been embraced by God, and He says, I love you, you belong to me now, and you belong to me forever. And God will solve whatever struggles and problems you have forever. But what He wants from us now is for us to go to Him, to pray to Him, and to wait on Him, to persevere in trusting Him. That is what God wants for us. So as Christmas comes around, I want you to remember that God has given you Jesus. He has redeemed you through the blood of His Son. And all of your sins, both past, present, and in the future, have been washed clean by the blood of Jesus. All the guilt, all the shame taken away. In time, God will bring you into eternity, where you will be with God, and that is your home forever and ever and ever. So through all the busyness, through all the presents and parties and food and stuff, remember the hope that we all have in Jesus Christ. Trust in Him. Let's pray. Father God, we need You. Our soul needs You. There are so many problems in our lives, Lord. So many sins. So many struggles, Lord. But thank You for Jesus. We long for the day that Jesus returns. And He takes away all these problems that we struggle with every day. And we long to be brought into Your presence, into Your very presence, where we will see You face to face and we will be Your family forever. We thank You for Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen.